You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Times Higher Education issue review podcast for the edition covering the 9th to the 15th of April 2015. My name is John Elms and today I'm joined by reporters Chris Parr on the other side of the mic for a change, Holly Else and Jack Grove. In the news this week, almost half of UK academics believe their workload has increased in line with the rise in tuition fees. That is according to a survey taken by Times Higher Education. Chris will have the load on that one a little bit later. Elsewhere, the University of Exeter has announced plans to provide more support for PhD students and early career researchers after an internal review found that 4 in 10 doctoral candidates said that studying their PhD had had a detrimental effect on their physical and mental health. Holly will lead us through that story later. And lastly, but certainly not insignificantly, Jack will be giving us a walk through the results of the THE's annual student experience survey, our comprehensive analysis of which institutions are delivering across all aspects of university life. We'll start, however, with Chris and your splash on findings that suggest academic workloads have risen in tune with fee increases. What else have you found?
This is the 2015 Best University Workplace Survey, which came out earlier this year. We always publish as much as we can when it comes out, but there's always a lot more to dig into, a lot more detail to be explored. We got about 5,000 comments, for example. I mean, there's no way we can put all of them in one piece. Also, things like data protection. I mean, we can't sort of just publish them openly with everyone's name on, so we, you know, try and pick through them and look for different angles. And one thing that we asked this year that we didn't ask last year was we gave respondents, it's about 4,000 to 5,000 respondents, the statement, since the introduction of higher tuition fees, my workload has increased. So quite simple, really, and asked them on a 5-point Likert scale to agree or disagree, strongly agree or strongly disagree, or state that they, you know, they didn't want to sort of declare their position, as it were. But what we found that was that almost half of UK academics believe that their workload has gone up with fees. It's 46%, I think, in total. Across the full sample, if you include professional and support workers as well, it goes down a little bit to just over a third. And among professional and support staff alone, obviously, it follows that it's a little bit lower. But we sort of focused in on the academics because it's quite significant that 46% should say that they have seen that workload go up.
And there were some particularly quite strident comments by unknown anonymous academics from certain institutions. What were kind of the flavour of some of these pressures that they're experiencing?
Yeah, I mean, we sort of speculated when we saw the figures that could be sort of one of two reasons why this would be. I mean, is it that students are demanding more of their time because they're paying more money and therefore they're just a little bit more needy, if you like? The other could be that universities are sort of putting more emphasis on their brand and how they appear because they're charging more, they want to get students in. So is the pressure coming from the students or is it coming from the institutions? And a lot of the comments that we got seem to suggest it was more the latter. So universities themselves were sort of so keen to appear that they were sort of the destination of choice for students that they were sort of putting that pressure on. I mean, I'll let the readers look through the different statements we've got from those people that you mentioned. But Yanis Gabriel, we can name. He helped us develop the survey. He's at the University of Bath School of Management. And he summed it up quite nicely, I thought. He sort of said again that institutions he seems to have noticed anecdotally are focusing on brand a lot. And he says the levels of anxiety, stress and discontent that I observe among colleagues around the corridors of my institution are matched by an alarming tendency to blame and resent the students for the malaise that afflicts the sector. Student fees, the conversion of students into consumers must surely be one of the factors that accounts for this. And that was the sort of thing we were hearing from a lot of the people who commented. It was, you know, the students are consumers now, so we have to treat them as very best we can.
Absolutely, and presumably, I mean, that, you know, with this idea of, you know, the marketisation of higher education, that having a direct effect on what workloads, judging on the results of our survey. What kind of detrimental effect is that having on an academic might perceive as their their what they would like to do in terms of their normal.
Are you suggesting they'd rather be doing research, John, than they?
I'm not suggesting anything. I'm just I'm merely putting the point that if they have this reason for that their workload's gone up in a different aspect of their work, what other aspects of their work are paying for it.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. We did actually ask another question in the survey, which was, I feel I have enough time to do my research. Or I think it was phrased, I have enough time to do the research I need to do to get ahead, I think we phrased it. But we asked that for the first time last year, so I can't say whether that's, there's a trend there for them having, feeling that they do have that time more at the minute than they did last year. We just don't know. But I mean, it would be normal to follow that if their workload has gone up as a result of fees, and the reason for that is students, as a lot of the comments suggest. Yes, maybe they do feel that they're missing out on other areas that they might prefer. Of course, not all academics would prefer to be doing research, but that they might prefer to be doing. Yeah.
Of course. Well, yes, Chris's story is on pages 6 and 7 of the magazine, and you can also find the whole Best University Workplace Survey feature on the THE website, well worth checking out. Holly, you have some startling news from the University of Exeter regarding doctoral students and physical and mental well-being. What's going on?
Well, this is a survey that Exeter did of its PhD students. It basically wanted to find out how their PhD affected their health and well-being, specifically mental health. And this is sort of in line with this trend that we're seeing now with more and more universities taking mental health issues more seriously. And we often hear that the PhD is a particularly stressful time, can be a particularly stressful time for people working, students working often on their own for long hours. It's a project that you do very much on your own, so people can take on board different types of stress from that. So Exeter decided quite forthrightly that it was going to look at this issue among their students. So it did a survey. They got 165 PhD students answering it, and found some quite interesting statistics. So the majority, 85% of the people who responded, said that their PhD work caused them stress. On top of this, there were things like money worries and a lack of friends, which also caused stress for PhD students. Three quarters of them said that their time was constantly under pressure, and two thirds said they felt guilty when they took time away from their studying to relax. So some really interesting findings there. Now, Exeter say this is sort of in line with the national trends seen by the NUS, reported by the NUS. But nonetheless, they want to do something about this, so they're going to create some kind of doctoral college. They don't know exactly what form it will take yet, but it would be somewhere for specifically for doctoral students to go get training and career development and more support.
You said that, I'd like to chip in, you said that universities, there's a trend for universities to do more to acknowledge these issues now. I mean, you'll be aware as I am that some would say the sector's been starting from a pretty low starting point in terms of doing that. I know it's anecdotally, but the letters we get, the things we hear on Twitter and in comment threads, seems that a lot of people haven't been that impressed with what universities have done to date.
No, I think that's exactly right. And actually, lots of universities are very reluctant to talk about these things.
Oh, really?
Exeter coming out with these figures and not worried about what it says about them is quite an interesting move, really.
Welcome.
And perhaps, really shows their dedication to these issues.
Right, absolutely. I mean, yes, you both mentioned that. I think I'm also a third person who's written a couple of pieces on these matters about the stress that PhD students put under. I mean, having not done a PhD, I couldn't possibly comment how stressful it is, but I can imagine it'd be very, very difficult for those undertaking it. From the non-academic side, I noticed a particularly interesting figure about how approaching your PhD mentors and what kind of issues and problems that a PhD student would approach them with.
Yeah, so this was quite interesting, really, that came out of the survey. So Exeter is one university that has, as well as having your academic supervisor, PhD students actually have a mentor as well, who is sort of dedicated, whose role is dedicated to their pastoral support. Now, I don't know how common this is at universities, but it's certainly not something I've heard of before. Mm. But the startling thing was, even though this provision is in place, only 10% of the students in the survey actually said they'd used that aspect, so their mentor, for help in these areas. So there's obviously some issues there in terms of asking for help or even knowing the right person to go to ask for help, if even if there is somebody who is that person.
Yeah. Perhaps it's also a case that when you're doing a PhD and you've got your supervisor, they become sort of like a guru, and your loyalty has to be absolute to them. So if you're seen to be going off asking someone else, you know, what they think about this and that, you know, you might be seen to somewhat damaging the relationship with the person who matters most in your life at that point, who is your supervisor, who's guiding you through this very scary process. That's maybe why it's not being taken up.
A really interesting point. And there is obviously this argument that supervisors need more training in how to deal with these kinds of things, because that's not traditionally their role. They're there for the academic side of things. But obviously there's a limit to how much extra work people can take on.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, a subject that doesn't really, that won't ever really go away and will continue to pose questions for the sector. That story is on page 8 and is worth checking out. Now, in the time we have left, Jack, you're going to condense an entire supplement on our student experience survey, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Well, this is our annual student experience survey. And this year, the firm YouthSite has polled almost 15,000 undergraduates at 113 UK universities to sort of find out a bit more about what's going on, because we have the National Student Survey, and that's very comprehensive for final year students. I think it's about 200,000 students it polls, but that's very focused on the course and things like assessment and those sort of things. Our one goes a bit deeper and covers more aspects of the student experience. So things like what the atmosphere like is on campus, is the student union good, what are the facilities like, what's the library like, things like that really do make a difference to student life. And in our poll, Bath is top. It rates very well on all 21 aspects that we ask students about. And it was very good for teaching facilities and extracurricular activities, and has a very good community atmosphere as well. And this is...
what does that mean, cheap beer?
Well, I think this might be something to do with the phenomenal amount of investment that's gone into Bath Estate. They're spending about £1 million a week.
Yeah, I found that.
Which is quite a lot. I mean, I suppose when people say we're investing £50 million, that's just a sort of a sum that doesn't mean much. But when you think of £1 million a week and think how many student fees that costs, you know, it's quite significant. Loughborough University was just behind. I think they'll be disappointed not to be in top spot, because they did very well. And it wasn't just about sport for them. It was their student union was rated very highly. And
yeah, their union president pointed out the thing that Chris just alluded to, that their union is helpful in so many different ways, and quote, not just seen as a nightclub, which I found quite amusing, which is, I think it's important that students don't just see their union as a place
exactly
to go.
Exactly, that's out, why right? When I was at university, my student union at Bristol was very much just a bar I went to.
Very sporty.
Went to pub quizzes. Karaoke, no, but it's a lot more than that.
Definitely, absolutely.
Also, Surrey has been doing very well recently, climbing lots of league tables, including ours. That's in sixth place, next to the University of East Anglia. In the top 10, Cambridge and Oxford. Exeter is in there, Leeds. Quite a few campus universities among those names. But
Newcastle, and my alma mater, Newcastle, scraped in the top 10 as well.
Yes,
you weren't going to overlook
Sheffield, Leeds, and Newcastle, great civic universities, they're also in the top 10. So
I won't say where mine is dropped from, drop two even. But I mean, we started this podcast talking about how academics' workload has increased with tuition fees and the idea of HE being marketised more. I mean, are these, you know, these experience surveys, is that showing the importance of them for universities in terms of how students rate these institutions for then future applicants, or what are the significances for being so high up for these universities?
Well, I think I think league tables do matter these days. Mm. People obviously talk to their friends and parents and teachers, and those are good places to go to, and people often base their decisions on those. But things like this do feed into decisions. Loughborough seen as a very good place to go, maybe not as high as some of the other universities in our list are in terms of, you know, league table rankings, but, you know, it's seen as a very strong place to go among the students who are there. So these sort of things are important, and I think universities have been investing a lot to make sure that they do well in them.
Mm, absolutely. Well, I mean, the THE Student Experience Survey is a separate supplement, including in this week's magazine, and there are lots of really interesting pieces, not just Jack's summation of the survey, and it's well worth checking out, especially if you want to see where your institution figured. Now, that's all we have time for in this issue, but I should just make a plug for our cover feature, a very interesting piece where Ross Akins considers the evolution of substance use and how campuses shape the debate. That's quite an interesting piece on the use of drugs on campus in terms of how US undergraduates once took drugs to, quote, turn on, tune in, and drop out. And that's well worth a read. But as I said, that's all we've got time for. Complete coverage of the latest HEU news, features, culture, books, and the rest can be found in our magazine. And of course, we value our readers' input as well. So if you'd like to comment on any of the contents in this week's edition, you can find us on all manners of social media, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, and of course, on our website, timeshighereducation.co.uk. Please do get in contact. Until next week, however, goodbye.
You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.